ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 8th Canto, Chapter 1, The Manus, Administrators of the Universe, Text Number 12. Na yasyadi anto madhyam cha svaha paro nantaram bahi visvasyamuni yan yasman visvam cha tan ritam mahat. Na yasya dyanto madhyam cha svakparo bnantaram bahi visvasyamuni yadyasmad visvam cha ritam visvam cha tad ritam mahat. Na yasya dyanto madhyam cha svakparo nantaram bahi visvasyamuni yadyasmad visvam cha tadritam mahat. Na yasya dyanto madhyam cha svakparo nantaram bahi nantaram visvasyamuni yadyasmad visvam cha tadritam mahat. Na neither yasya of whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead Adi, a beginning, Anto, end, Madhyam, middle, Cha, also, Sva, own, Para, others, Na, nor, Antaram, inside, Bahi, outside, Vishvasyas, let's see, Vishvasya, of the whole cosmic manifestation. Amuni, all such considerations. Yet, whose form? Yasmat, from he who is the cause of everything. Vishvam, the whole universe. Cha, and. Tat, all of them. Ritam, truth. Mahat, very, very great. Translation: the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no end, and no middle. nor does he belong to a particular person or nation. He has no inside or outside. The duality is found within this material world, such as beginning and end, mine and theirs, are all absent from the personality of the Supreme Lord. The universe which emanates from him is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate truth, and he is complete in greatness. Translation, everyone repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no end, and no middle. Nor does he belong to a particular person or nation. He has no inside or outside. The duality is found within this material world, such as beginning and end, mine and theirs, are all absent from the personality of the Supreme Lord. The universe, which emanates from him, is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate truth, and he is complete in greatness. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is described in the Brahma Samhita, chapter 5, verse 1. Our favorite verse, huh? Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karna Karnam. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the Supreme Controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. For the Lord's existence, there is no cause, for he is the cause of everything. He is in everything, maya tatam idam sarvam. He is expanded in everything, but he is not everything. He is a chintya beda ved, simultaneously one and different. That is explained in this verse. In a material condition, we have a conception of beginning, end, and middle. But for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are no such things. The universal causing manifestation is also the Virat Rupa that was shown to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, since the Lord is present everywhere and all the time, he is the absolute truth and the greatest. He is complete in greatness. God is great, and how he is great is explained here. Yasya dhyadanto madhyam cha svaparo nantarambahi visvasyamuni yad yasmat visvam cha vrtadritam mahat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has no beginning, no end, and no middle, nor does he belong to a particular person or nation. He has no inside or outside. The duality is found within this material world, such as beginning and end, mine and theirs, are all absent from the personality of the Supreme Lord. The universe which emanates from him is another feature of the Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is ultimate truth, and he is complete in greatness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapanandikam Adadana Srinandan Taivritam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhujo Dulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I was born in the darkest of ignorance with my eyes closed shut, but my spiritual masters open my eyes to the torchlight of transcendental knowledge. Therefore, I offer my humble obeisances at his lotus feet. So here, Swayambhuva Muni, Manu, is performing great penances and austerities that we cannot even believe. For hundreds of years, and I assume that's probably demigod years, we know the demigods, their one day is equal to 6 months of our earthly years, and one night also equal to 6 months of our earthly years. And 365 such days is one demigod year. And here it's described that for hundreds of those types of years, he was standing on one foot. We can hardly stand on 2 feet for more than 10, 15 minutes. We'll become very tired. Our feet will become sore. Our legs will become sore. So such great austerities. We can't even imagine. Fortunately for us, the most merciful Prem Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden avatar of love, has appeared to give us very simple austerity. Simply chanting the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And even we have trouble with that. So we can just imagine the great austerities of Swayambhuva Manu. While he's performing these great austerities, he's offering prayers. We know one of the nine processes of bhakti is offering prayers. So he's offering very, very wonderful prayers just to help us understand the situation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Here he says, he has no beginning, end, or middle. Now this is impossible for us conditioned souls to understand such a thing. For us, we see everything has some beginning, it has some end, and it has some middle. But the Supreme Lord, he's beyond our thinking power. He's achintya. Achintya means beyond the power of our mind to grasp. We can't grasp. For us, everything must have a beginning, it must have an end, it must have a middle. We can't understand it. We have never seen such a thing anywhere that has no beginning, end, or middle. But since Krishna, he's expanded throughout the entire universe, there's no beginning, there's no end, there's no middle. This is the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore this word Prabhupada uses, what? Achintya Bheda Bheda. It's beyond our thinking power. Because if God was something that we could imagine with our tiny brain, then we would be greater than God. If we can imagine God with our tiny brain, then we'd be greater than God. He has to be that thing which is beyond our intelligence to understand. We can try with our intelligence to a certain point. But ultimately we simply have to surrender. Krishna told in Bhagavad Gita that I can only be understood by devotional service. We have to surrender and serve Him, recognizing His greatness. So here Swayambhuva Manu is describing the greatness. No beginning, middle, or end. He doesn't belong to any particular person or nation. Just like those of us from foreign countries, everywhere we go in India, we get the same question. Where are you from? Isn't it? I go so many other countries, nobody bothers to ask me where I'm from. But here, everybody wants to know where you're from. If we stand here in the courtyard for aarti, we're trying to listen to, enjoy the aarti, somebody will come. Where are you from? And some places, just like if you go to Bihar, then they want to know, what caste you are even. Aap kaun si jati ke ho? I never went any other place but in Bihar somehow. Aap kaun si jati ke ho? I would tell them, Mlech. So they, what? Because we're all not even, we can't even come out of the quality of Mlech actually, but anyway. But Lord, He's transcendental to all these designations of belonging to a certain person or belonging to a certain nation or a certain community. He's beyond all these designations. Just like sometimes they try to say, oh Krishna, He's the Indian God. But that's like saying, oh, the sun is Indian sun. We're sitting here in India, we're looking up. Of course, today we can't see the sun, but we know He's there, the light is there, so we can't say it is Indian sun. And in England, they can't say it's the English sun. The sun is the sun. God is God. He's not Indian God or Christian God or Muslim God or American God. God is God. He's beyond all these designations. People may see Him a little bit differently according to their relation. Just like high court judge. When he enters the court, you know, then they bang the table. The Honorable Justice Michael Johnson has come. Everybody stands up. Then everybody speaks to him in a very special way. Oh, Your Honor, I didn't do it. He did it. I wasn't even there. He did it. Please excuse me, Your Honor. But when he goes home, his next door neighbor doesn't say, as soon as he walks in, gets out of his car, doesn't the neighbor stands up at attention. Nobody addresses him, Your Honor. He says, hey Mike, how you doing? He enters the house. It's not that they bang the table and everybody stands up. His wife says, hi honey. His child says, Papi. Same person, but everybody's seeing him a little bit differently. And calling Him by a different name. So God is one, but some people are seeing Him a little bit differently, but He's the same person. Because He's beyond any materialistic designation. So therefore it says, He has no inside or outside. That we also cannot understand. Everything we see has got some inside, some outside. How we'll understand? Krishna has no inside, He has no outside. Just like the Mayavadis, they try to tell us that the Brahm has assumed this form just to give us instruction. But it's the unborn eternal within that form that we have to surrender to. Prabhupada was always quoting one very famous person, we won't mention his name, Prabhupada didn't mention his name. He's always saying, it is not to the person Krishna, but to the unborn eternal within. But Krishna is inside, outside, there's no difference. But this is also beyond our tiny brain power to understand. They're achinta, inconceivable. If we could conceive of God, then it would be a creation of ours. But He's inconceivable. Therefore He's trying to reveal Himself to us. So Prabhupada immediately quotes, after this big long verse, first thing He says in the purport, Isvara Parama Krishna. Isvara means controller. So we see within this world there's so many controllers. Somebody is controlling his family. Somebody controlling his community. Somebody's a leader of the community. Some in the so many communities are there in the city. This is some person, the mayor, he's leading the whole city, he's the controller of the whole city. So many cities are there in the state, so there's one chief minister or governor, in America we call governor. Then so many states are there in the nation. But there's one prime minister, he's in charge, or one president. And so many nations are there, but according to our vision, of course there's one fellow, he thinks he's a controller of the whole world, but anyway, I won't mention his name either. And demigods are controlling over different aspects. Somebody's controlling over water, somebody's controlling over air. There's 33 million demigods controlling everything. There's one Brahma, he's controlling this universe. Billions of universes are there. And Krishna, he's controlling all that. And beyond that, there's the spiritual world. Billions of unlimited amounts of Vaikuntha planets. We say billions, but beyond that, unlimited. So we'll find gradations of controllers. But when we want to come to the Parama, means the supreme. Ishvara Parama Krishnaha. Lord Brahma, he's declaring that the supreme controller is Krishna. Even though he's so powerful, he doesn't declare himself as God. People get some little bit of mystic power in this world, and then they declare themselves as God. But Lord Brahma, he's so powerful, simply by chanting a mantra, he creates a whole planetary system with all the different species of life. Very powerful. He doesn't say, just like in Bhagavatam, there's a section where Narad Muni comes to his father, Lord Brahma, and he said that I see that everyone is calling you the Supreme, but I see you're meditating on something else. Narad Muni was a little bit cleverer than people of Kali Yuga. Some foolish guy comes and tells, I followed some process, I became God, you follow the same process, you'll become God. And Narad Muni is a little more clever. This guy, he's following some process, he's doing some worship. He must be worshipping something beyond him. And Lord Brahma was honest, he didn't say, yes, I'm God. He said, no. Unless and until one is aware of the absolute truth beyond me, one is sure to be illusion, seeing my powerful activities. Lord Brahma is very powerful. These little guys, they can do some little mystic power, make something, some ash appear from their hand, or I have one God's sister, she was following one of these so-called incarnations of God. He made a gold ring with her initials on it appear out of his hand. But a little gold ring, what is that? Or some ashes, what is that? Lord Brahma is creating planetary systems with all different species of life. And he's not declaring, yes, I am God. He said, no, there's somebody beyond me. And here he's pointing out who that is, Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna. And that Krishna, what does he say about him? Sachidananda Vigraha. So that means eternal. In this world, we've never seen anything that eternal. Even we say, even the mountains may someday wash to the sea. Mountains seem eternal, but they're also washing to the sea. Every rainy season, the rain is pouring down and dissolving the minerals. It may take millions and millions of years, but eventually the mountains will wash to the sea. We haven't seen anything eternal in this world. But Krishna, he's Sat. First of all, Sat. He's eternal. He always was, he always is, he always will be. That we have no experience. Sat Chit, he's full of knowledge. We're born, we're completely ignorant. We have two legs, but it takes us several months just to learn how to walk. It takes us several months to figure out that we can't fall off the floor. We're born in ignorance, but Krishna, he's full of knowledge from the very beginning of his life. Ananda, Satchit Ananda. He's full of eternal bliss. We get a little bliss, we get a little pain. Nobody can say that he's completely blissful all the time. And then Lord Brahma uses the word vigraha. Vigraha means form. It's not that God has no form. Now immediately our tiny mind will say, if you're giving God a form, then you're limiting him. The Mayavadis, they try this argument on us. That you're giving God a form. But we didn't give God the form. He already had the form. And by you saying that he can have a form, then you're limiting. If you're telling God is unlimited. If he's unlimited, he can have a form if he wants. How can you stop him? How can you say he has no form? Who are you to say? He got a form. That form is unlimited. Now we're really out there. Unlimited form? How can we understand such a thing? Not possible to understand. Because we're limited by, we have this form. I'm sitting here in Abhyasasana. I can't be sitting in my room eating prasadam. I'm limited. But Krishna, he can be everywhere. We saw Narad Muni, he was shocked. He went to Dwarka where Krishna had 16,108 palaces, and he saw in every palace Krishna was there doing something different. Prabhupada explained, even the yogis, I can't remember the number anymore, we're not interested in mystic powers. 9. They can expand themselves 9 times. But that's like on the TV when you see somebody's expanded himself by TV. But if he goes like that, all the images on the TV, they go like that. He goes like that, all the images. But Narad Muni, he saw Krishna was one place he's joking with his wife, another place he's playing with his child, another place he was eating, another place he was doing something else. So the yogis, they can expand themselves, but then each expansion is doing the same thing. So this means, as the whole verse points out, Krishna is the Supreme. We can't do any of these things, but he can do all of these things. So Satchit Ananda Bigra, he has form, but that form is not, first of all, as soon as we think he's got form, oh my God. This form is such a trouble. Just like our wonderful godbrother Gopal, some monkey attacked him, he fell, he broke his arm, now they had to put some rod inside his arm. Such a miserable form. God has such a form? God also has form? No. How is it possible? This form is giving us so much trouble. We go to Mayapur festival and there's 1 million mosquitoes to bother this form. But Krishna's form is not like that. Satchit Ananda. It is eternally bliss and knowledge. Not ordinary form. Unlimited. Not only his form is unlimited, but he has unlimited forms. Now try to understand all that. Therefore, he's the Supreme Absolute Truth. Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchit Ananda Bigra. Anadir. Anadir means he has no beginning. Now our only experience we see, everything has got some beginning. It's like, a few days ago, we started from the beginning of this eighth canto, first chapter. And in a few weeks, we'll finish. The chapter has a beginning and an end. Everything we experience has got some beginning. But Krishna is that thing that has no beginning. Anadir. But Adir, he's the beginning of everything. And sarva karana karanam, why he's the beginning of everything, therefore he's the cause of all causes. But you see, everything has got some cause. We go back and back and back and back and back. Somewhere it has to stop, otherwise we just have an infinite regression which is meaningless. It's like they say the buck stops here. Somewhere the buck has to stop. And that stops with Krishna. Material scientists, they try to tell there was a, what do they call it, a unity or something? And somehow in the beginning there was a
singularity,
that's what it is. This little singularity was somewhere. They say there was nothing, but there was a somewhere where there was a singularity. And somehow without any cause, it just exploded. And it went spiraling into outer... Of course, there wasn't any place, but somehow it went into outer space. Some place suddenly manifested, called outer space, and all the things swirled around and formed stars and mountains and planets and so many things. And some of those spinning planets happened to produce something called water, and the water melted down some of the minerals, became a primordial soup. A lightning bolt hit it, zap, and some little single-celled creature by accident happened into existence. He got bored with being a single-celled creature, he became a two-celled creature. He got bored with that, he became a four-celled creature. Gradually he became some sort of a fish or something. He got tired of the ocean, he crawled out, became a lizard or a frog or something. Got tired of that, he became a horse. Somehow or other, we came along. And for the last so many years, human beings are here. So-called evolution. We're supposedly getting better and better. Actually, according to our vision, the humans are getting worse and worse. Our scriptures describe that in Satyuga you could live for 1 lakh of years. Now, supposedly, in Kali Yuga, it said 100. Who's living to 100? After 45 years, they're getting their first heart attack. Then 3 or 4 years after that, Ram Nam, Satyahe. Nobody's living. We're not evolving, we're devolving. Prabhupada said, it was considered a great benediction if the demigods would come here to the earth planet to pass urine. He said, now the place is so devolved, not evolved, devolved, they do not care to come here to pass even urine. One tape, Prabhupada says. They do not care to even come here to pass urine, what to speak of, associate with us in any way. So we're not evolving, we're devolving. And somehow all these things just happen by accident. But it's much more intelligent to understand, we see, it's not that now everybody's mad after their iPhone X or iPhone 10, whatever you want to call it. It's not that it just happened. Apple has so many thousands and thousands of employees and so many researchers breaking their brains trying to make something incredible thing. They have so many engineers, they have so many thousands, thousands of people employed to bring out this tiny little phone. And they hype it up like anything, and everyone has got to have an iPhone. And you're not satisfied, you got to get the next one. And then they come out with the next one, then you have to throw away that one and get the next one. They have so many thousands of people engaged in hyping it up. It's not that it just happened by accident. So many hundreds of thousands of people were involved in designing it and manufacturing it, marketing it, supplying it. There's a whole big, it didn't happen by accident. The scientists say the first living being was the most least developed. And we say the first living being, Lord Brahma, was the most developed because he had to make everything else, which is what we see. People, intelligent people, they invent so many things. So it's more intelligent to figure out that the first being in the universe, he was the most intelligent and he organized everything else. So Krishna, he's that thing that has no beginning, no end, no middle, nothing. By hearing all these things, then Krishna's lila becomes even more and more sweet. Because we just heard Krishna doesn't belong to any nation or person or community, but he becomes the child of Mother Yasoda and Nanda Baba. This thing you see, he's God. How God can have father and mother? That means, because we see father and mother is the cause of the child. So how Krishna can accept father and mother? This is Krishna's pastimes become more sweet and inconceivable. This is his love. Just like our Bhakti Vinod, he said, but tell me not in reasoning cold that life was made alone by earth's mechanic, lifeless rules, and to destruction prone. We see the biggest force in this world is love, so the whole beginning of the universe is love, Krishna love. Why does a father have children? In order to enjoy with them. So Krishna expanded himself in order to relish wonderful relationships with his devotees. He's an ocean of love. It is not cold, lifeless, mechanic rules that's running the universe. It is all based on love. Now it becomes so inconceivable. Mother Yasoda, she was trying to tie up that person who has no beginning, middle, end. If I give you a great big package and tell you to tie it up, it's very difficult. But if I give you something that has no beginning, middle, or end, then where will you start even to try to tie it up? And Mother Yasoda, she, no matter how much rope she got, she couldn't tie Krishna up. So Krishna's pastime became more sweet. Because he finally allowed himself to be tied up by Mother Yasoda. How is this possible? He has no beginning, middle, or end. But by love. Krishna is a great ocean of love, and he wants to relish wonderful pastimes with it. We're so foolish, we're thinking that somehow or other we'll find out some pleasure in this material world. We're trying again and again. Although we're frustrated at every moment, we continue to try. All the sages are telling us, Bhagavatam is telling us, spiritual master is telling us, we just don't get it. One day it has to sink in. This material world is a miserable place. Don't try to enjoy here. Just like a small child. You see, mother's got this funny little skinny board, and there's this very shiny thing, and steam is coming out of it, and she's going back and forth like this. So the little child, he sees a shiny thing making some sound, and some steam is coming. He immediately wants to touch. Mother says, hot burn. Don't touch. But child not satisfied, as soon as phone rings, she's talking on the phone, immediately goes and touches it. Then he sees in the kitchen, there's beautiful flower, blue and yellow flower dancing there in the kitchen. The mother's cooking. And again, he goes to touch that beautiful flower. Mother says, don't touch, hot burn. Again, she's distracted, so he's not satisfied, he wants to touch. He touches it. Eventually it sinks in. When mother says hot burn, I will get that horrible experience. Because every time she said hot burn and I didn't listen, and I touched the thing, I got that horrible experience. Eventually it sinks in. So one day it's going to sink into our dull brain. Sense gratification means pain. The only pleasure in this world is to be engaged in the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar, Sri Sri Krishna Balaram, Sri Sri Gaur Nitai. That is the only pleasure in this there is in existence. That finally has to sink into our dull brain. But reading this verse today, I was reminded, very wonderful verse. There was one fellow named Rus Khan here in Braj. He was actually a Muslim fellow. He was a courtier in the court in Delhi, but he had to go from Delhi to the capital in Agra. So right in between, we see between is Braj. Somehow he would come here. He got this amazing experience. Just like I was just in New Jersey and Washington D.C., Hartford, Connecticut, we saw so many beautiful forests. But somehow we're completely mad after this Vrindavan forest. Everywhere when I saw beautiful trees and beautiful forests. But we're mad because we don't know why. It's just something wonderful about this Vrindavan forest. Of course, we know why. It's because Krishna is here. It's non-different. So somehow, whenever he passed through Braj, he would get this strange experience. So one day he was coming back from Agra. He got to Braj. He just didn't want to leave. He didn't go to Delhi. He just stayed here. But everyone saw he's got this beard like this, because Muslims, whatever the Vaishnava will do, they'll do opposite. Vaishnava growing sikha like this, so Muslim he'll grow a beard like this. If the Vaishnava's got his shoes curled like this, his shoes will curl like that. If Vaishnava will wash his face like this, and he'll wash his face like this. Everything opposite they do. So they saw this guy's Muslim guy. So nobody would talk to him, they threw stones at him, insulted him. But he refused to leave. He says he's experiencing something unimaginable here. So finally they say Bittulnath, the son of Balavacharya, saw this guy wandering around. So he decided to talk to him. And then he preached to him and explained to him what significant about this place, and he became a great Vaishnava. And he wrote most beautiful poetry in old Brijbhasa language. So I was reading this verse, immediately one verse was coming to mind. Shesha Ganesha Mahesha Danesha Suresha Ujaha Narandara Gavi Jaya Nariya Khanda Cheda Bheda Subheda Vatavi Nar Sukha Bhyas Hari Narasukar Bhyas, I can't remember now. Hari Tau Purni Parna Pave Taya Hirki Chohariya Chachi Bari Chachape Nacha Nachave. He writes so beautifully. Sesa Ganesha Mahesha Danesha Resha Hujara Narantara Gave. Gave we know to chant, to sing. The Sesa Ganesh Danesh Danesh Dinka Esh, that means the sun, he's Lord of the day. Sesa Ganesha Danesha Mahesha Suresh, Lord Indra, Jahi Narantara Gavi, they're always singing his glories. Who? Jahi Anadi, he's beginningless. Ajahi Anadi Akhand, he's unbreakable. He's unlimited. Jahi Anadi Akhanda Ched, he's no division. Jahi Anadi Kheda Cheda Subbe, he can't be divided in any way. There's no divisions, there's no middle. Jahi Anadi Akhanda Cheda Bhed. Subheda Bhattavi, the Vedas are telling us, he's like this. They're all singing the glories of that fellow who's beginningless, middleless, endless, without any break or division, he's unlimited. Narad Sukham Vyas can't even fathom a fraction of his fame. I tried to translate it just so it sounds like Ras Khan. Narad Sukham Vyas can't even fathom a fraction of his fame. Still, the gopi girls of Braj are making him dance simply for a sip of buttermilk from the palm of their hands. The same person, all the demigods, as I'm explaining this point, his pastimes become more sweet. And Ras Khan is pointing this out. He's glorified by all the great rishis and demigods of the universe. The Vedas tell us he has no beginning, middle, or end. Even Narad Sukham Vyas, even they can't understand completely. Can't even fathom a Hari Tau Purni Parna Pave. They cannot begin to understand. Taya Hir Ki Chuharia. The little girls, the heroes of caste of Braj, Kahur caste. Taya Hir Ki Chuharia. Chachia Bari. Chachia means this palm. Chach. They have a little bit of chach in their hand, a little bit of buttermilk. And they say, Lala, if you dance, we'll give you a little sip of buttermilk. The same person, everybody else is glorifying him. He's unlimited, beginningless, endless, without break or division. And the gopi girls will say, oh, Lala, if you dance, we'll give you a little sip of chach. Just to relish the sweetness of Krishna's pastimes, he's written this. Narasugavas Hari Tau Purni Parna Pave. That's it. Sesa Ganesha Mahesha Dinesha Suresahu Jaha Narantare Agave Jariya Nari Akanda Cheda Beda Subeda Vatavi Taya Hiku Chahariya Chachi Avari Chachape Nacha Nachave. Just for a little sip. And even they don't give him the buttermilk. He said, "You dance again, Lala, you dance again." The same person, everybody, all these big, big people are glorifying. And little girls of Braj are saying, "Oh, Lala, you dance more, then we'll give you. Not this time." So this is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like I'm remembering, if we'll go over a little bit, that we'll make the long story short. Somehow or other, Prabhupada was coming to Santa Fe, and Govindadasi was cooking for Prabhupada and serving him. So she went there to check everything out, and she went in town. Santa Fe is 1.5 kilometers above sea level. It's very high, and Prabhupada just had this pastime of his so-called heart attack. So all the doctors told him, no, for people with heart condition, this altitude is very bad. You know, when you go in the mountains, you just walk a little bit. Just like if you go to Bolivia, it's 13,000 meters above sea level. No, no, it's 15,000 feet, so what is it? Anyway, it's very high up there. So Mangalartik is Sansara Dava Nalalida Loka Tranaya Karanyagana Natvam. So, I forgot what I was saying, thinking about that. So anyway, they told that it's very difficult, this height, this altitude for people with heart conditions. So she told Harinama, who was a temple resident, Prabhupada can't come here. We have to immediately send him on to L.A. He was going to L.A. on the way, he was stopping in Santa Fe. So anyway, they went to the airport, and Prabhupada came. And Harinama had been bitten by a black widow, a type of spider we have in America that's poisonous. It won't kill you unless you're a small baby or an old man or something, but they're quite venomous. So his whole leg was all swollen, and he was delirious. That's why he listened to Govindadasi, because he was half out of his mind that we have to tell Prabhupada to go. So they went to the airport. Prabhupada came, he paid his obeisance. It's funny because his leg was sore and swollen. And Prabhupada said, "What's the matter?" "Oh, it's nothing, Prabhupada." Those times, those days, Swamiji. "Nothing, Swamiji, but you must immediately go to L.A." And Prabhupada said, "You boys, you write me so many letters that I should come here. Now I came and you want to send me away?" And Govindadasi blurted out, "But Swamiji, this is 1.5 kilometers above sea level. It's a mile high. It's very bad for people with heart conditions." And Prabhupada said, "Oh, you think that I'm old man?" "You think that I'm old man?" Then they got flustered. So then what should we do? And Prabhupada said, "So what do you think we should do?" "I don't know. Swamiji, what do you think we should do?" And Prabhupada said, "I don't know. What do you think we should do?" And Govindadasi said, but Swamiji, you're the pure devotee. What do you think we should do?" Prabhupada, in all humility, "That doesn't matter. What do you think we should do?" "So you're a pure devotee." "And that doesn't matter. What do you think we should do?" So then they realized fully, they wrote so many letters that Prabhupada should come, and they sent him, telling him to go away. So they decided he should come. So now my god sister, Mahamaya, she wrote this beautiful book, Prabhupada is Coming. And somehow when Prabhupada is coming, things that you couldn't possibly do in 3 months get done in 3 days. But in this instance, Prabhupada is not coming. So you can imagine what the temple and the Brahmacharya ashram and everything looks like back at the temple. Because everybody knows Prabhupada is not coming. So they got back to the temple, and Prabhupada came in, and everything was a big mess. You know, and he looked into the kitchen, and he went into the Brahmacharya ashram. You can imagine what a Brahmacharya ashram looks like if Prabhupada is not coming. And Parinath was, but Swamiji, they didn't know you were coming. Prabhupada just... For him, because we had temples on the East Coast, we had temples on the West Coast, this was in the middle somewhere, in Santa Fe, New Mexico. So this is like Prabhupada conquered another kingdom. You want to see, even poked his head in the bathroom to see the bathroom. We can imagine Prabhupada's not coming, what it looks like. Then he sat in the temple room, on a big cushion, everybody sitting around him, just like a little cowherd boy with all his cowherd friends. And he opened up this, he took out that famous white bag, you know, that Prabhupada always carried. And he pulled out this tinfoil and opened it up. And this is so long ago, nobody knew what a besan laddu was. And in the heat, they had melted, so they weren't round. It all was all flat, you know, the shape of the tinfoil. So Prabhupada was breaking it, just like a little cowherd boy, giving everybody a little piece. And even Harinama, he didn't know what it was. He thought it was sweet peanut butter or something, you know. He didn't know what a besan laddu was even at that time. So Prabhupada was sitting there with everybody sitting around him. And just some hippie boy happened to be there that day. And he said, looked at him and said, Swamiji, who is Krishna? And just as matter of factory, as if everybody in the whole world knows, you don't know. Prabhupada just turned to him and said, Krishna is a little cowherd boy in Vrindavan. Who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Just like that. Somebody doesn't know anything, and Prabhupada asked him, who is Krishna? He's a little cowherd boy in Vrindavan who's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way, Krishna's Leela is so delightful. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he's behaving just like a little cowherd boy in Vrindavan. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan ki jai. So anybody has any questions? Yes. Oh, Jigyasu Das. Back to Mike.
Hare Krishna. Oh, you know that speaking that you had gone to Bihar and they were asking you from where are you. So similarly, whenever we meet so many people, we ask them, how are you? And everybody say, yes, I'm fine. Even though they are not fine, they say, I'm fine.
Yes.
So the tendency of speaking life is already in our habit.
Yeah, but tendency. Prabhupada explains that we have four defects. One of them is tendency to cheat. He's lying in hospital, his leg in traction and bandages everywhere. How are you? Oh, I'm feeling fine. Hare Krishna. Now I was saying everybody else wants to know where we're from, but in Bihar they want to know which caste you're born in. Aap kaun si jati ke ho? Yes. Can one realize Krishna? Well, by chanting Hare Krishna, one of the things is there's 10 offenses and we should avoid all of them, so that's one of the things that will help us realize Krishna, being attentive. We need all the help we can get, so all the offenses are there we should avoid, but definitely being attentive will be very helpful. Most important thing is devotion. Just like we say, Krishna is ultimately, he's love, and our relationship with is based on love. So we have to chant with affection. Even so, Prabhupada said, as soon as you chant, Krishna says, oh, Radha and Krishna, oh, someone is chanting our name. He's explaining the trick is, you have to chant with so much love, Radha and Krishna will say, oh, someone is chanting our name with such love, let us go and see. Like Vrita Bhakti Siddhanta said, don't try to see God, you do something so God will see you. Even our ordinary chanting, Prabhupada said, Radha and Krishna, oh, someone is chanting our name. But if we chant with enough love, then maybe, because for us to go, just like if we want to see some big person, so many secretaries are there and security guards are there, just like we go in life membership, big sign is there, beware the dog, the security guard is there, he's out of station. Very difficult. But If the owner of the factory hears there's some worker who's doing nice work, he's never absent, he's on time every day, he works, he doesn't sneak off at 4:30, he's there till 5 o'clock. If the owner wants to go, the factory wants to go see him, who's there to stop him? If I want to go there to see the owner, so many secretaries and security we have to get through. But if the owner wants to come see me, then nobody can stop him. So therefore we want to chant. If we try to go to Krishna, it's very difficult. We should chant, try to develop such love that Krishna will want to come and see us. And part of that is being attentive. We just heard, we're chanting the name of that person whose beginning is middle, endless, huh? Such a wonderful thing. We're chanting the name of such a person, and that name is not different than him. Huh? And still we're so dull, especially in Kali Yuga. Just like there was one girl called boy, he was sitting in the temple room and he was chanting his japa. Hare Krishna. Teacher came, what are you doing? He said, I'm doing what everybody else is doing. We're so dull in Kali Yuga, therefore Mahaprabhu said, I am so unfortunate, I have no attachment. So we just have to beg, borrow or steal, somehow get some attachment for chanting the holy name. So if there's no other questions, we'll... Yes, one more question. Where's Bhakta Mike? That is the point, that Krishna is inconceivable. That he, although he has no birth, still he appears to take birth. It's all appearance. He appears like he took birth from Vasudeva and Devaki or Nanda and Yasoda. It's all appearance, it's all lila. But it becomes more sweet when we understand that he actually has no appearance, but he loves his devotees so much, he let them play that part of father and mother. His father, the love of father and mother for a child is, Prabhupada said, that's the closest, especially the mother's love. It's not that at the end of the week, you know, she's cleaning, you know, wiping him and cleaning him and feeding him and picking him up when he falls down and, you know, rocking him till he'll feel good again. It's not the end of the week, he writes out a check. Thanks, Ma, here's your check. Spontaneous love. Prabhupada, this is the closest to spiritual love we can see in the material world, the mother's love for the child. So this is, Krishna's pastimes become more sweet when we understand who he actually is. And he's allowing someone to think. Mother Yasoda is thinking that if I don't feed Krishna, he's going to become sick and die. Whole universe is running only because of Krishna, but Mother Yasoda is thinking, if I don't feed this fellow, he's going to die. These are all inconceivable pastimes of the Lord. First thing, we just have to understand we're not this body. All these other things will take some time to understand. So anyway, we'll put our voice to rest here and we'll fall down at the very soft and wonderful lotus feet of that great personality who's revealed how God, everybody's saying God is great, but Prabhupada has revealed to us how God is great. See the Prabhupada key.